ready to roll, guys.
That's from China. There's lead in it.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos, Per Chof Tes, Halacha Yud Gimel, Chapter 29, Law 13 in the Mosnayim text, page 324, 325, continuing with various halachas of Kiddush and Havdalah. Following up from Yud Beis, Yud Gimel continues and says, it's a little bit different now. Yud Beis, we learned you were in the middle of your meal, you weren't planning on stopping your meal as Shabbos was coming in on Friday evening. In Halacha Yud Gimel, you ate before, and now you're finishing right at about sunset. So you're planning on finishing your meal, and you definitely want to bench, you want to finish your meal, you want to make Kiddush, you want to get on with the next meal. So the guy is eating and he finished eating his meal with the advent of the Shabbos. So what do you do? First you bench. You make Kiddush on a second cup. He doesn't say it, but you make Kiddush on, you make benched on a cup as well. And you can't bench and make Kiddush on the one cup. That is not an option.
That's the bundling.
That's the bundling mitzvah. She'ein osin shtei mitzvahs because echad. You can't do two mitzvahs with one cup. Now, that's the idea of ein osin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. Now, as you recall, that these are two different focused mitzvahs. The benching is you're finishing up a meal. That's one concept. Kiddush, you're ushering in the sanctity of the Shabbos. So one is something that stops you from eating, and one allows you to begin eating. So those are two contradictory concepts which you cannot bundle together. As opposed to what we said yesterday, that technically you could bench and do Avdolah on one cup because it's the same concept. They're both the idea of finishing the meal. And he concludes, Shemitzvah's Kiddush, or Mitzvah's Birchas HaMazon, the Mitzvah of Kiddush and the Mitzvah of benching, Shtei Mitzvah's Shel Torahim. They're both Mitzvahs of the Torah, and therefore, if they're in conflicting mitzvahs, you don't bundle the two together.
They don't have the concept that they shouldn't spoil their appetite before.
This is when they started at a permitted time, right?
Well, they started well before the time, and
it's not ideal.
I mean, certainly, right? It's not an ideal thing, but he did it already. He's eating.
Extenuating circumstances.
Listen, I'm sure they don't eat that much.
They're covering all the bases,
nibbling on the celery.
Yeah. A lot of dvar Torahs. Okay, Yudalid. Ein mekachin. Oh, now we come to very interesting halachas now. Ein mekachin el al yayin haroyel nasech al gabi mizbech. We only make Kiddush on wine that's worthy to make a libation on the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash. So that already is telling you that Kiddush is a very significant thing. It's not just Stam Kiddush, because remember, your table is like a Mizbeach in many ways. So now making Kiddush on the wine is like pouring wine into the Mizbeach. So it has to be fit for Mizbeach use. Lefigo, therefore, im nisariv bo dvash o saor, if you mix honey or yeast, or for that matter, when you're saying honey, and all certainly would apply to sugar as well, afilu ketipas hachardol bechavis gedola, even a quantity so small, like the drop of a mustard seed size, into a huge barrel, ein mekachin lov, you cannot make Kiddush on it. And this is Mamish, last week's Torah portion. Torah says, you cannot, when you have a mincha offering, or any korbanos that you bring to Hashem, you cannot have yeast or honey when you bring it to the Beis Hamikdash.
The Torah specifically says yeast and honey.
Specifically, Perek Beis Halach Pasuk Yud Aleph, last week's Torah portion.
What quality is the yeast and honey?
We'll talk about that. And they're usher even a little bit. A drop is usher. It's very interesting. Can you pass me a chumash?
You could mix it with water, couldn't you?
No.
Yeast.
Can't have any.
Didn't they used to mix
the incense offering? Is that when they talk about that?
It's the mincha.
Yeah, the morning.
Mincha. Last week's parsha. Yeah.
They used to water down the wine?
I thought you go 4-1 with the wine.
Okay, relax. Let's just. You're jumping the gun.
But not for an
It says like this. Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, last week's Torah portion. Kol ha mincha asher tekriv al Hashem, any mincha that you bring to Hashem, lo seyase chametz. You can't make it out of chametz. You can't have any yeast. He calls Saor, because any yeast, V'chol Devash, or any honey, Lo Saktiru Mimenu Ishel Hashem. You cannot burn it as a fire offering to Hashem. Korban Reishis Takrivu Osam Lashem. But a first offering korban, you may bring them with honey and yeast. You are allowed to. So what does that mean? So there's two questions that have to be asked. Number one, what is wrong with honey and what is wrong with yeast? And number two, as Rashi explains, when we're talking about the korban reishis, meaning a first korban, so Rashi says the two breads that you bring on Shavuos, they are with yeast. It says chometz teafeno, and also bikurim. When you bring bikurim, the first fruits, they have dates. And dates are dates honey. So you can bring the date honey. So what's the inyan? So the Kleyakar on the Parsha explains very beautifully the following. Number one, that honey represents physical pleasures. Represents gashmias pleasures in this world. And in Avodas Hashem, the biggest thing that takes you away from gashmias, from ruchnias, spirituality, is gashmias. Sure. And the Mizbech is a place of spirituality. You shouldn't be bringing something that represents the ultimate in gashmias. It's not just food, it's the honey, make it sweet. So you shouldn't have that. Similarly, Saor yeast, we know, the Gemara says, really Hashem, we want to do your will, Hashem. What holds us back? It's the yeast in the dough. Yes, meaning the Yetzirah is the yeast, so we don't bring any of that into our karbonas as well. So therefore, any wine, certainly any wine that would be brought on the Mizbeach could not have any yeast, or it could not have any honey, for that matter. So now, but it's interesting, Kli Yakar says, however, we allow it for Bikurim, because these things, although they shouldn't be looked at as a primary item in Avodas Hashem, but it is what we'd call a beginning in Avodas Hashem. For example, Gemara says if it wasn't for the Yetzer Hara, people wouldn't build buildings, people wouldn't propagate. So there is a place for the Yetzer Hara. And the truth of the matter is, there is a place for physical pleasures in this world, but only as beginnings, not as ends. So therefore, when it is, and that's what the Torah says, it says, you can't bring it, but if it's a korban reishis, if it's a beginning, then it's okay. So when you go into Eretz Yisrael, and we're now live there, and we're bringing bikurim, we're bringing the first fruit, it's a reishis, and we're really giving to the coin to say we're thanking Hashem that He's giving us this beautiful bounty. So as a beginning, but not as an ending, and you understand, it's only to show us our gratitude to Hashem, so then you can use the honey. But when it's a korban, that's like the final goal. A korban mamish is the final goal. By Shavuos, when we're bringing the yeast, why are we bringing the yeast then? Because that's Shavuos, it's because of Matan Torah. And we know that Torah is the antidote for the Yetzer Hara. So if you know you're solid in Torah, then you could have a Yetzer Hara, a little bit of Yetzer Hara. When there's a lot of Torah, then it will challenge the Yetzer Hara in a proper way. Just bring yeast as a korban stamazoi. There's no Torah associated with any particular korban throughout the year except on Shavuos. So we don't want to have any yeast. So that's the beautiful symbolism of this. So therefore, when we're dealing with wine, the Rambam says at least, we'll see what the final halach is, but you shouldn't have honey and you should not have yeast in your wine. We'll see what the final locha is. Kach anu morim, so that's what he says, kach anu morim b'chol hamarav. This is what we paskin in the West, meaning Spain, Morocco, that parts of Europe, this is the Western part for the Sephardim. V'yesh mi shemater l'kaddish alav. There are those who permit making kiddush on them, and that's based on the Talmud Yerushalmi in Pesachim that says that you can fulfill your obligation with kunditon. And what is kunditon? It's wine mixed with honey. So the Jerusalem Talmud clearly says you can use it. Now, that's what he says. The Shulchan Aruch, when he brings down this halach, he brings both opinions. The Rambam's who says not, Rambam brings both opinions, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down both opinions. The Ramah says it's customary to follow the more lenient view. So therefore, we paskin the lenient flu, and there, because that's very practical, because many, many wines have sugar added to them. Right. So clearly that would be a problem. So again, if you want to be mehudar, you will use wine that does not have added sugar to it, or you wouldn't have a honey type of wine. But certainly that you have opinions to rely on if you have that. And similarly, and obviously you could say, Kiddush, the Mizbeach is one thing and Kiddush in your house is another. I mean, okay, it's symbolically the same, but it's not halachically the same thing. So that's why there's different opinions there, and we can rely on that lenient opinion. Another thing is, again, the Yesh Mishmar to Lekadosh Alav, the Omer, and they say like this, what's their rationale? Lo Nemer Hayayin HaRoyal Nasech Al Gabay Mizbech, that which the Gemara does say, you can only use wine for Kiddush with the wine that's fit to be used for the Mizbech. So we thought it meant all types of wines that have to be fit for the Mizbech. So no, that opinion holds only one exclusion. It's only exclusion that we hold today if the wine has a bad smell. In other words, that is the part we say, just like you can't use that on the Mizbech, you can't use a bad smelling wine. Oh, Magula, or a wine that was left uncovered because you're afraid that snakes could come in and put poison in it. Oh, Mivushal! Or cooked wine. Cooked wine, the Rambam is saying that is what we're applying Kiddush to, the wine that we pour on the Mizbech. Shein Mekanshin Alachad Mehem, we don't make Kiddush on any one of them. And again, that becomes another issue. And again, there are many authorities who argue with the Rambam and they permit wine that is cooked. And again, it's based on that same Jerusalem Talmud that we quoted. Again, the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. And the Rambam says it's customary to follow the lenient view. So that also has some significance. Now, there's a bigger machlokes in terms of what constitutes yayin mevushal, what constitutes cooked wine. And here we have a big machlokes with Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzelem Rav. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that grape juice or wine is considered cooked when it reaches 175 degrees Fahrenheit. According to Tzelem Rav, it has to be 212 degrees Fahrenheit. So now there's different wines go under different categories. So you have to be very careful. When a wine says it's mivushal, you have to know they're going to put a little fine print according to which rabbi. So I think the OU, they put out, I think from Ketam ones, I'm not sure. But sometimes you're going to have wines that says, wine is not mivushal. Then it'll say, this wine is mivushal. And the third one, they're not going to tell you anything. Why? So in other words, when they say this wine is not mevushal, that means it's for sure under 175 degrees according to all opinions. When they say it is mevushal, then it's saying it's for sure 212 or more according to all opinions. That would be mevushal. When it doesn't say anything, it means somewhere in between, and therefore you have to go with your posik that you go with. So therefore, that's very interesting. So again, so what would be the preferred thing of doing? You have the Seder night. What is preferred? Obviously, it's preferred to go with non-mevushal. That's what you also call it, all opinions, and non-sweetened. I mean, naturally sweet is okay, but putting sugar in it. So that would be obviously the best. Now, if you're going to have people who are non-Jews,
you shouldn't at the Seder anyway.
Yeah. Well, you may have a non-Jew at the Seder. You never know. You may be stuck for Shabbos or whatever. Shabbos. Whenever there's a situation of non-Jews, let's say you have a non-Jewish nanny who's cleaning for the Seder and could be touching wine. Right. So under those
bottles, she's not touching an open bottle.
She might touch an open bottle. I mean, again, when someone's in the conversion room, whatever. And then there's other opinions. I don't want to get people upset that hold that a person's a Mechal Shabbos shouldn't touch the wine. Not everybody holds like that. Everybody holds like that, but certainly that. So in other words, so what would be the best?
Cooked.
Yeah. So the best thing would be to use non mevushal. That is clearly the best. But any issue where, let's say you're at a Pesach hotel, you clearly have to have mevushal, because with all the wait staff and all these people, it's for sure wine bottles being touched. So that's where you're going to have to, you'd want it to be mevushal. So you have to use pragmatics over to determine what's the best kind. But if you're just in your house and there's no goyim and there's no issues, then clearly it's better to go with the non-mevushal. A wine like a Kedem Kal, for example, is 3% alcohol and it's non-mevushal. So, and yes, Mordechai, he knows all the wines that are the best for the Seder.
What's the avera of drinking non-mevushal that's been touched by a goy?
Yain Nesach. You're not allowed to drink wine that the rabbi said it's a rabbinic violation. You can't touch wine that the non, you can't drink wine that the non-Jews have touched.
So that's a worse fate, if you will, than having mavushal, which is not ideal.
If he picks up the bottle.
Or just picks up the bottle closed.
An open, no, if it's a sealed bottle, it's not a problem. But if once the bottle's been opened.
Then the LCBO, all of them are.
Once the bottle's open, then there's a problem. So that's where, and you have a nanny, very, you know, helpful. She says, you know, I saw you had all the bottles were closed. I opened them all up for you.
Right.
You know, they mean to be very helpful. So, you know, that's good to throw out to $100 of wine. So therefore, you gotta be careful. But clearly, it's worse to have a goy touch non-mavushal wine than for you to serve mavushal wine at Kiddush. Clearly it's worse, because it's for sure a derabbanan violation, while here, if it's mavushal, it's a machlokes, and we have on whom to rely on. So you have
and
to
if
use,
you say that potentially it's Nom Shomer Shabbos Jews is also an issue.
If you wanna be strict on that, then you might wanna have mavushal also. So whatever you do, there's always an issue. That's why there are people who don't, you know, only want to have religious people around there to avoid all the shilas. I'm not saying that they should, but you know, you want to do kibbutz also. Or you just be careful that they don't have them touch the wine. You know, if a non-Shomer Shabbos who touches it, you have much more reason to be lenient than if a goy touches it. So, okay, you can arrange that you pour the wine. You say, I am the wine master, and I will, you know, give out all the wine, and when you pour the first up, and then you put the wine to the side, and nobody touches it, or you make sure to finish up every bottle by every coast, and then start a fresh bottle afterwards.
If you have a bottle and there's nothing written on it, can you assume it's mavushal?
If there's nothing written on it, you assume it is
between.
Not mavushal.
It's between. Yeah.
You know, again, you should always assume it is not mavushal. Now more and more they label it both ways, but yeah. If you want mavushal, you should make sure and find out it says it is mavushal.
So you're assuming it's non-mavushal.
The general default, it's non-mavushal.
Yeah, really?
So unless you don't hear that it doesn't say mavushal, you should assume, at least according to some opinions, it's non-mavushal. So then you have
I
to
I thought
work.
We said the unlabeled was in that 175 to 212.
So that could be a non-mavushal.
Right.
According
it
to
could
some,
be.
All right, so you have to concern yourself. So that's why you assume it is non-mavushal. You don't want to enter into a machlokas.
Actually, that's very tricky when it's between.
So it's better to get ones that specifically say mavushal. That is for sure. Again, many of them will say non-mavushal because people want to bedafka have non-mavushal.
Right.
So if you particularly want non-mavushal, make sure it says non-mavushal. You hear? But if you particularly want mavushal, make sure it says mavushal. Right. If it's in between, you're nishtahin and nishtaher, so you're not going to know. You know what to do.
The wines I took a look at, the majority of them didn't have anything written on them.
You have to look carefully.
Yeah, it's really small. It's
very small print, and our eyes aren't used to reading such small things anymore. So you should check it out. You could do a random survey one day. If you have nothing better to do, Howard, I'm sure you have a lot of free time on your hands, right? And you just, you know.
They really wonder what you're doing in the LCBO.
Say, look.
I bought 12 bottles of wine. I'll do a survey at my house.
With a magnifying glass.
Yep. Okay, onwards. Test love. Yayin, okay, we're continuing with a few other wines that are not allowed to be used. Yayin shetamo tam chometz, wine that has the taste of a vinegary taste, that means it's spoiled. Avavish arech arech yayin, even though the smell is a very nice wine smell, but the taste is yach. Ein mekatshim alof, you don't make kiddush on that. V'chein shmorim shnos aloim yayin, what about dregs, the dregs of the grape? You just take the dried dregs. Avavish yesh b'em tam yayin, and you put water on them. You mix it with water. Even though it has a taste of wine, ain mekachimalim. You don't make kiddush on that, because the bracha on that would not be bari priya gafen, but shahakal, because it's mainly a water taste. But, just wait a minute. But med, remember, when do we say this last halacha, you don't make kiddush on such wine, when it depends on the proportions. If you put three parts water, and you produce with the dregs less than four parts of wine. In other words, there's a greater than,
less than 25% wine.
4-to-1 ratio of water, right? So then it's not enough, rather less than a 25% ratio of water. Well, let's get that straight. 3-to-1 means there's more. So it means you've diluted it too much, right? So it's too watery. Hotzi arba, but if it's a 4-to-1 ratio, hareza yayin mosuk, that is the proper way of blended wine. In other words, you do dilute wine. The wine in the days of the Talmud was very strong. So the proper diluted one is 4-to-1. Then you make kiddush on it. If it's a 3-to-1, that means you have much 3-to-1. Let me get straight. 3-to-1.
It's not, it's less diluted.
Would be less diluted, too strong. That's the problem. Be too strong, and that also wouldn't be good tasting. So therefore, it wouldn't be good. This is not nogea for us at all because we have our wine isn't as strong, but you can certainly dilute wine as well.
Is that vinegary?
No, it's a different halacha. Forget about the vinegary. It's two different halachas. First halacha is vinegary. Second halacha is if you're mixing the dregs with water.
And if it's vinegary, could you use it for havdalah?
No, you can't use anything like that.
Happened to me on Shabbos.
So it's no good.
I have no open wine. I said the bracha hagafen on the wine, and you know as I'm drinking it, I discovered that it's basically vinegar.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was supposed to do at that point because I already said the bracha.
So Sam, what should he do?
To hell in the handbasket.
And I had none.
He
just open. Has
and he had no other. No, but it was vinegary.
But he had it already. He tasted.
He made the bracha.
I was drinking it. It was like.
But it's not really wine.
Maybe you can get marmadina.
We're not yaitzer, which is wine.
Make a bracha on marmadina.
You have no more wine in the house?
We had bottles, but I was worried about having a hesek adas. I didn't want to create a problem, so I didn't know what to do.
I don't know. To me, it would seem you'd have to open up another bottle, and we didn't have in mind on that wine. You have to start it again. I'd say you should do the kiddush again. Okay. You're probably not yaitzer with that wine. And you should, and if anything, it's just
one more
still Shabbos free.
Okay, continuing. Tezayin, kli shahaya mole yayin, a utensil that was filled with water. Afilu machsi kama revios. It holds many, many revios. That's there. Im shasmen emaat. If you drank a little bit directly with your lips from that cup, it says a huge cup, a big goblet. Or a pitcher, and you drank straight out of the pitcher with your mouth.
And you making kiddush on it?
No, I don't care. Nothing. You just drank it. You make kiddush, didn't make kiddush, I don't care. But what you do is you drank out of it, like azoy, yeah? And the remainder is in the cup. Hareza pigamo. It has been pugum, which means tainted. Nivsal, and it's pasalve mekachin al ashar. You can't make kiddush on the rest of that wine another time. Why? Then shehu kishiure kosos. As the status of leftovers in the cup. And therefore, it's not dignified for the royalty of the Kiddush to use such stigmatized, it's like leftovers. Don't use leftovers for Kiddush, use fresh. Now, then we said there's a way to unpugmatize it is by taking wine from that has not been drunk from, pour it into there, and that takes out the pugum. So for cases that relate to us, okay, you poured it from your bottle of wine. You poured yourself a cup for kiddush. You made kiddush, you drank a cheekful, now you have leftover wine. So what you do not do is take that wine from the cup and pour it back into the bottle, because that will now make the whole bottle pugum. Instead, you take a little bit of the bottle and pour a little of wine into that cup so it unpugmatizes it. And then you pour everything back into the bottle, and that was the proper procedure.
I think, Rabbi, that in your kiddush cup, if you pour it into another cup and drink from that other cup, then the cup that you make kiddush on is fine. In other words, you make kiddush on this cup, and then before you, and you don't drink it, you pour it into another cup and drink from the other cup.
That's
so your lips
fine.
Haven't touched this.
That's fine. So it's not a problem.
The more typical thing is you make kiddush, you drink from it, then you pour it for your wife after you've drank from it.
So either you're going to pass straight that cup.
Okay, so she drinks from that
just
cup.
To her.
But now she's drinking pugum.
If you're going to pass to others, you should either pour a little wine into it.
But what if she drinks from the same cup?
So what's wrong if she drinks?
So it's pugum after you drank from it.
No, that's okay.
She's you.
That's fine. I mean, and the truth, no, and more, I mean, that's fine. Okay, Tez Zayin we did, right? Yud Zayin. Yayin Sherecho Reach HaChomes, what the opposite? The wine smells like vinegar, but it tastes like wine. The Kashmir made Kiddush on it because the main thing goes after the taste. Echein Yayin Mazuk, and similarly diluted wine with water.
Didn't we say that if it's an unpleasant fragrance?
The opposite. We did the opposite.
I thought we said if it was an unpleasant fragrance, you couldn't.
That was, it's some hold that, but he says, but if the taste is good, I know you want to say it contradicts from your Yud Daled.
Yeah.
But I guess either he's going with the other opinion, or I guess if maybe before it smelled bad and tasted bad, maybe that would be the difference. But if the taste is good, then we say that it's fine. Okay, make kiddush on that. V'chein yayin mazug, and similar, yeah. V'chein yayin mazug, and also wine that is diluted with water, right? But still the wine has to be, a real wine has to be more than 1/6 of the water. It has to be more than 1/6 wine to water. That's the dilution amount. Before we're talking about the dregs and water.
Right.
Now we're talking about actual wine. So wine
so you can even have less
more than 1/6. That's okay. Yeah, it's got to be quarter. Real proper wine. If it's a wine that's already a diluted wine, right. You know, then it could be a problem. V'chein yein tzimukim, and also raisin wine. Mekachin lo, you can make kiddush on raisin wine. But however, the condition is v'shiyu tzimukim sheish melach luchis. It has to be grapes that were moist grapes. Shimudrich also, because to the point that if you'd step on them, yetsam and divsham, their juice would come out of them.
Raisins.
But if it was dry raisins, that wouldn't be good.
Rabbi, quick question about the 4-1 and the 1-6. So if you run out of wine,
you can add water.
Yeah, but can you add 4-1 or can you add only 1-6?
The 4-1 is by the
dregs,
but by wine,
so if
wine
I have regular
you can
cup
add
of wine,
more.
A regular cup
let's
of
see,
wine.
Let's see what he says for the devil. It should be 1-6, less than 1-6.
Of course, our wine's not that strong, so would you have much of a wine flavor?
We got diluting here. Diluting wine or grape juice for kiddush. Okay, let's see what he says over here. One that's not enough wine for the 3 times is required on Shabbos. You may dilute the wine, which he has. In Talmudic times, wines were so potent they had to be diluted with water before being served. A dilution of less than 6 parts of water to 1 pint of wine was a wine mixture valid for both kiddush and avdala. Today, many commercial wines made in the United States and other countries have already been diluted. As a result, one must determine the water-wine ratio prior to diluting any further. According to Kedem Company, the permissible dilution property proportions for their wines are as follows. All wines, 1 part water to 1 part wine. Concord grape juice, 2 parts water to 1 part
wine. If it's sweet, I guess.
Concord's much more. So clearly a 1-1
for
would
regular.
Be all right.
So the grape juice you can dilute more. Is that right?
So grape juice is probably 2.
Concord grape juice, 2 parts water to 1 part.
You can dilute that more.
But if they're regular...
One minute.
If their regular wine is like 10%, their 1-1 would be only 5%. Some of the wines we're buying now are 3% and 4%.
That's not just the alcohol. He's talking about water. There could still be water. I don't know.
But did you say Concord wine or Concord grape juice?
Grape juice.
That's what it says.
That's pretty
here.
Sweet. Okay.
All right. So, but clearly a 1-1 would be okay.
Yeah.
And that's already a lot of dilution. So you'd have to call up the company so exactly what it is. But certainly a little bit of water you can for sure
right.
do. If let's say you have to have a full kiddush cup. Let's say at the end of the stage, your 4th cup of wine, and you have a kiddush cup that's let's say 4.5 ounces, and you just finished the wine and you're missing an ounce. You should open up a whole new bottle necessarily.
It's 1/4.
It would be better with grape juice, right?
Well, yeah, grape juice is better, but you could put in 1 ounce of water. Clearly, that's for sure. For any wine, that would be good enough. So clearly, if the wine bothers, you can always add a little water in for that. Okay, let's just finish up this halacha. V'chein yayin chadash migito, also fresh wine from the wine press. Mekachinov, you can make kiddush on that. And that means within the first 40 days after it's stepped on. Okay, I'm not a wine expert, but he says that's fine. V'sochet adam eshkol shel anovim, person can squeeze a cluster of grapes. To make kiddush on it right then and there. It's real grape juice. Just squeeze the grapes and all that's in there. Medina, according to the law. Stop. Bishato, period. Now, one last halacha. Medina, Sherov, Yena, Shechar. A country where most of the drink that they use, alcoholic drink, is beer. Avlishu, Pasul, Kiddush. Even though you can't use it for kiddush, Mutul, Havdalav, you can make Havdal on it. Hoel, Vahu, Chamer, Medina. Since it's the Chamer, Medina, that is acceptable. And just to give you a few rules for Chamer Medina has to be defined as a beverage you would serve to a guest in which to show respect, not merely for quenching thirst. That will, vary from country to country. Clearly, beer and liquor are definitely Chamer Medina, no matter where you live. Whiskey, brandy, those things for sure. Then he brings a number of items that different rabbis have said are considered Chamer Medina, and not everybody agrees necessarily. Milk, orange juice, apple juice, soda, tea, and coffee. Some hold yes, some hold no. That's not the full list, but certainly a list that is a list. When he says, when using hot coffee or tea, you got to make sure to drink a mole lugma, that it does get in properly. Okay. We'll hopefully finish the parak tomorrow. 30 minutes. Yeah,